So, welcome. I'm so happy that all of you are here this morning. We are in a really unique series. We call this series, Do You Know That You're My Child? It's a series to remind us of what God will do to save us, what His salvation gives us, and that we receive a new identity when we believe in Jesus Christ. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at all this in great detail. But this morning, I want to start us off in a very specific place. And so this morning is Baptism Sunday. And what a perfect place to land, to reflect on what it means to be a child of God as we become baptized this morning. And so when we baptize people, it's not just something that we say, but rather it's something we believe, that we are a child of God. But how do we arrive at that conclusion? I want to share a few things with you this morning before we begin our baptisms. In order to do that, I'm going to take us to the baptism of Jesus. When we go to Matthew 3, he records this: "Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answering said to him, 'Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a loud voice out of the heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" We have to understand a couple things about the baptism of Jesus. And I think the first one is, why did we baptize Jesus? Well, one of the first things that's important to recognize is through the baptism of Jesus, he himself identifies with sinners. Jesus, who was without sin, did not need to repent of any sins. And so the baptism that John is doing in the Jordan is referred to as a baptism of repentance. But Jesus didn't sin. So why did he need to be baptized? Jesus buried himself in the waters of repentance with sinners so that he could identify himself as our brother. It is an early sign that he will take on all of our sin. The baptism of Jesus is just one aspect of his total participation in our broken and fallen humanity. And so maybe sometimes when I say, well, he's trying to identify with sinners, we have this pushback, and we don't like to merge Christ with sin. And please hear this the right way. Jesus is without sin. But he lived this life among us. He ate with sinners. He talked with sinners. He performed miracles on sinners. And so baptism is just one more aspect where he is uniting himself with us. And again, it is an early sign of just how far he will go to forgive our sin. And in this passage, we realize that the heavens were opened up. The idea of the heavens opening up reveals that the Father is pleased with his Son. And now the world will be showered with love through the gift of salvation. We even have a saying for this. Have you ever been around a really torrential rainstorm and somebody makes the comment, it's like, man, the heavens opened up and the floodwaters just flowed, right? Well, that's exactly the imagery that we should be drawing on, is that instead of rain coming down, that's just how much love that is coming down from heaven. And it says also that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove and fell on him. The Holy Spirit does this so that Jesus can do God's will. If we look back to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah says this in chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." I love Isaiah's language there. Isaiah, if you don't know, was a prophet in the Old Testament, and oftentimes in the Old Testament, these prophets were anointed with the Holy Spirit to do God's will, but it was temporary. It was only while they were alive, or only as far as God wanted to anoint them. As Matthew records, the Holy Spirit falls upon Jesus. This is to be understood as the commissioning of Jesus' ministry, that he is empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's will. If we think about the timing, his baptism occurs before he actually engages with public ministry. And so now the Holy Spirit falls upon him, and he will forever be that voice that calls out to the brokenhearted. And the last thing that we should see in the baptism of Jesus is that the Father voices his approval in Jesus' sonship. The Father's declaration that Jesus is his Son, in whom he is well pleased, is for the church. He's saying to you, church, watch the miracles that my Son will perform. Listen to what he teaches you. Fall to your knees at his sacrifice. And be overjoyed at the resurrection and ascension. For this is my Son, the one I sent into the world so that the world might be saved through him. We talked about that last week. The Father is declaring not only that Jesus is his Son, but that his mission and what he will accomplish pleases the Father. So this morning, we have 10 individuals who want to be baptized. What does this mean for us today in these baptisms? Well, number one, baptism unites us with Christ's death and resurrection. Just like I said a minute ago, Jesus was united with sinners in his baptism. When we baptize these individuals, they are now united with Christ. We should see the baptism as a watery grave. Have you ever recognized that? When we lay a person down in the water, that they are dying to their old way of life, it is very much a watery grave. And as we bring them up out of the water, just like Jesus was resurrected, as they come out of the water, they are now resurrected in a new life, one that promises eternal hope. We recognize that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, like Jesus being commissioned by God and empowered with the Holy Spirit, we too now receive the same gift. As we become sanctified through the actions of the Holy Spirit, God will use us more to do his will. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, we now take the gospel with us into the world. We are meant to share these testimonies, our stories. You were given them for a reason. I often use this analogy. I'm one person, here's what I recognize. I will not connect with everybody in this world. I have a group of people that I can connect with, and that just naturally. But then again, so do you. There may be somebody that's struggling that I will never be able to resonate with because of my story, because of my background, but because of what you've gone through and what God did in your life, it'll connect with them. and they'll seek God and they will forever be changed. And so the Holy Spirit walks with us. He empowers us to share our testimonies. He guides us to the people that need to hear them. And then it's our job to get out of the way and let him do his work in saving people. The other aspect that we need to recognize this morning, and it's admittedly my personal favorite, is that we have now become adopted by God. Paul writes this in Romans. Paul says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Notice how the Holy Spirit comes first, and then there's a declaration. "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading you to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." When we perform these baptisms this morning, we are formally recognized as children of God, and we now have an eternal Father who loves us beyond our comprehension. And this should have a radical impact upon our lives. It's a beautiful thing to think about. Maybe some of you have gone through this life. Maybe you didn't have a good dad. Maybe you've never had that template, that model before. But now, your Father in heaven becomes your eternal Father at baptism. He sends the Spirit to guide us through this life, to empower us, to encourage us, and to lead us. This is very much a beautiful relationship, and it reminds us that we are children of God. In short, we baptize because we are commanded to by Jesus. In the Great Commission that's recorded in Matthew 28, Matthew records, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them," meaning the disciples, "saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" These are the last words that are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew by Jesus. The last thing that he tells us is to go and make disciples and baptize them. It is a mission. When it says go, that is an action step. We are to very much go and do that very same thing. The early church fathers understood all of this. And so, right from the very beginning, there was questions about how do we do baptism. And I'm not being funny when I say this, but there is questions like, well, do we just sprinkle them with water? Do we dunk them? How long do we hold them under for? No, I'm kidding on that one. But there's all sorts of questions. But another thing that was coming up that the church fathers were realizing is one pastor was saying this and another pastor was saying this over there. And so in the early formation of the church, they held councils. And they held a great number of these councils to define our faith. And I think it's important that you understand this, because sometimes you hear things like, "Oh, this is just made up," or "this is what one person's doing or another." And it's like, no, no, no. In the early church, these councils were there so that we could define something. And because of that, because there's some questioning of what we're supposed to say, they developed what's called the Nicene Creed. And it's a long creed. And they would say this before baptism, and they recognize something, that if you're anything like me, I have a really good memory, it's just short. And so to try and read a long creed and memorize that, most people couldn't do. And so they develop what we call the Apostles' Creed. And here's the beautiful thing about the Apostles' Creed. It's a summary statement of our faith. It's been said for over 1,000 years. And when we say it, when we say it, church, it's being said in London, in China, in Africa, not only today, but since it was created. When we say this, we're affirming our faith in the same way the rest of the world is. That's why this creed is so important to state this. And so we're going to put the creed up on the screen. And I'm going to ask you to do this. Because we're reciting a creed, we shouldn't be sitting down. We're making a declaration. So would you please rise? I don't do this very often. But if we're going to affirm our faith, we should have the right posture. And so I'm going to lead us in this. Can we get the first slide up there? And join in with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy United Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We say that at this time in our service because when we baptize these individuals, we're going to ask them if they affirm that faith of what we just recited. So it's important that everybody hear it and you understand when I'm asking that question that they answer yes to that. So now that we understand what baptism is and why we participate in it, I want us to remember that today we are celebrating the adoption of people into the family of God. So as a celebration, I expect you to make a lot of noise when we bring these individuals up out of the water. For they have been resurrected, they have been given a new life in Christ. Something worthy of celebration. So I'm going to ask that you cheer and clap and let them know how excited you are that they are now part of this eternal family. With that being said, for those being baptized this morning, if you would please rise and follow me out of the sanctuary, and our worship team is going to sing, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
This is the testimony of Madison White. Before I decided to trust Christ, I was very depressed and anxious. I was not hopeful for the future and felt that the world lacked people that were kind. I had always prayed to God, but I wasn't really sure who he was. It was just a natural thing for me. I felt that if there was a God, he kept giving me things that I couldn't handle anymore. Finally, it seemed everything in my life fell into place right as I was about to give up, and I knew it was because of him. Since fully believing in Christ, I have learned to forgive those that hurt me without waiting for an apology or closure. I am grateful to just wake up every day and have begun to open myself up to others more. I don't worry about what other people think of me or listen to negative comments because I am focused more on God. Overall, I am relearning how to live a life full of the joy I had when I was a child.
So Madison, will you be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed?
Yes.
And do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and do you believe that he saves you now?
Yes.
And as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow him all the days of your life, growing in grace and the love of God and neighbor?
Yes.
Okay. So let's do this. Put this up your nose. Madison Christine Lytle, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I once heard seemed like nothing more than fairy tales, failing to resonate with the reality I has experienced. During this past phase of my life, when everything seemed to be going well on the surface, an unexplainable void grew within me. Days turned into weeks of unexplainable breakdowns, where I would fall on my knees in tears without any clear reason, leaving me to remain with this void inside. Meanwhile, my girlfriend, Madison Lytle, who was just baptized as well, I love that, expressed a desire to attend her old church. Initially hesitant, I rejected her suggestion for 3 weeks until her determination to go was so strong, and she said she was going to attend with or without me, which prompted me to join her, despite my own beliefs. In that first service, something shifted within me, a moment that remains vivid in my memory. As I witnessed someone kneeling at the altar surrounded by a community of believers, I felt an overwhelming surge of emotion. It was as if I could physically feel the collective prayers embracing them all. Something deep within me brought tears to my eyes. This decision has given me my life a stronger sense of love. Instead of relentlessly chasing material things, I've discovered the boundless love of Christ and the joy of sharing that love with others. My relationships have grown stronger as I've learned to love much deeper than before, mirroring the love I received from God. It's through this love that I've found true fulfillment and purpose, guiding me towards a more meaningful and enriching life.
And will you be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed? Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you believe that he saves you now? As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow him all the days of your life, growing in grace and love of God and neighbor?
Step forward, Jason. Yeah, you're tall, man.
And Isaac, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, in the Holy Spirit, amen.
This is a testimony of Mallory Elder. Hi, my name is Mallory. I grew up in a Christian household, and I've always had a very strong Christian support system in my life. My parents and my grandparents are all strong believers. As I said, I was raised as a Christian, so I've always had a good faith, But now I want to take the next step on deciding on my own acceptance of Jesus. I truly believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he is our Lord and Savior. He has helped me in times of need and times I have struggled. It's such a comforting and amazing feeling knowing what Jesus did for me and just knowing I will always have someone to pray to and talk to in my life. My goal in life is to live for Jesus and help others learn about what he has done. Without Jesus, I don't know how different my life would be. I am so blessed to know the truth about the Lord, and that is just a gift to me. I am so ready to take this next chapter in my life with Jesus and continue living for him.
Mallory, will you be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed?
Yes.
Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And do you believe that he saves you now?
Yes.
As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow him all the days of your life, growing in grace and the love of God and neighbor? Mallory Elder, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is the testimony of Aiden Cohenhoven. Prior to discovering Christ, my life was filled with darkness, devoid of purpose and meaning. I wandered aimlessly, seeking fulfillment in all the wrong places, yet finding only emptiness. I never was truly serious about my relationship with the Lord, but found it one of the darkest moments of my life. Losing my sister shattered me in ways I never thought possible. The pain was unbearable. Yet in the midst of my darkest hour, Christ gave me his hand and offered me his love and his comfort. My life since this discovery in Christ has been filled with meaning and love for others. It's changed my viewpoint on life and treatment of others for the better. I've learned to have unconditional love for every human and forgive them no matter what they've done. Discovering Christ and accepting the Holy Spirit into my heart has been the best decision I've ever made. I will forever be grateful and humble to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Aiden, will you now be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed? Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you believe that he saves you now? As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow him all the days of your life, growing in grace and the love of God and neighbor? Aiden Cohenhoven, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is the testimony of Randy Johnson. There was a time in my life when I questioned everything and was filled with dark thoughts and no hope and was held captive to alcoholism. But then I found God's love and received his forgiveness. Now I live in total freedom and know that I am at peace. Religion was never a big thing in my family growing up. I believed in God, but always strayed away from him. I was self-centered. Only talk to God selfishly to ask why me? Never to be thankful and appreciative of my blessings and the things that I had. But within the last 5 months, all of that's changed. My wife and my children started going here to South Lake and they were always inviting me to come. And the answer was always no. I always had an excuse or something that I thought was more important to do. Until I decided to give it a shot. I was struggling with life and alcoholism, and seemed I was losing grip of not only my life, but my marriage and my relationship with others. So what could it hurt to join my family at church? Little did I know that walking into this church that first time would change my life. As I sat and listened to the sermon, I began to realize what the missing piece in my life was. As my eyes became watery and the body filled with all different emotions, I didn't understand what was happening to me, but I instantly felt relief. The missing piece in my life was faith in the Lord. I continued coming every week. I loved coming. It was something I actually looked forward to throughout the week. Everyone was so welcoming and loving. Not only did attending church make me want to create a relationship with God that I never had, but it also led me to other things that would make a huge impact on my life. For one, it led me to Pastor Michael, who I connected with so easily. I began therapy with him once a week to talk about the things I've never been able to tell others or even to trust others with, and was able to explain so clearly and freely. For that, I will be forever grateful. I was struggling with the addiction of alcohol, childhood traumas, and the grieving of loved ones for many years. Never wanted to be told that I had a problem, nor did I want to seek help. Just managed to handle it in my own ways, unhealthily. I gained the power to ask one morning about the AA meetings posted on the back of the weekly bulletins. After understanding it had nothing to do with the church, and we'd be held with complete strangers, that no one I knew would be there, I became nervous, but I knew now that God had to help me through it all. He would be there for me every step of the way. I buckled up and started going that week and continue to go weekly to this day. I'm proud to stand before you all this morning, 105 days alcohol-free. I'm filled with so much more joy. Answering my call from the Lord to attend church that Sunday morning has transformed me into the man God called me to be. I've grown so much within the past few months, with much more growing and learning to come. My relationship with God has calmed me and made me more humble, grateful, understanding, and kind. It has led me to do things I wasn't willing to do on my own. But once I put my hand in His, I was able to walk into these harder situations with ease. I'm forever thankful for all of you here today, especially my family, my wife, and my kids. Thank you for the love and the support. I love you all.
Randy, will you be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed?
Yes.
Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you believe that He saves you now?
Yes.
As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow Him all the days of your life, growing in grace and the love of God and neighbor?
Yes.
Randy Johnson, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is a testimony of Emily Johnson. 2 years ago, I hit rock bottom with my mental health and my physical health. Life had seemed so gray, and I was struggling to just stay afloat while the world around me just kept going. I was filled with anger, fear, and anxiety with everything life was throwing my way. It led me to being overburdened. It led to self-disgust, worry, fear, and ultimately disconnected me with the God that I had known and loved my entire life, because I wanted the control and didn't trust His plan. I knew of His goodness. He had always been faithful, but my human weakness separated me and left me empty and searching. I felt guilt and shame because of this, and I hid my suffering from anxiety and borderline depression from those around me with a constant smile on my face. I got really good at pretending and hiding. I'd keep it all together on the outside, but deep inside, I was falling apart. After putting a smile on for so long, my mental health started to take a toll on my body. I started to become physically sick. In 1 year, I had 3 surgeries and was sick multiple times with strep. It felt like one thing after the other, and I could not catch a break. I felt so alone and like no one could understand. I was trying medication, I started therapy, I tried to make time for myself, and yet nothing was helping. There was still something missing, and even though I felt like I was healing, I still felt empty. I was invited to South Lake Church when my grandma was starting to become very ill. Something told me I needed to go. I walked in and was instantly filled with many different emotions. The biggest was it felt like home and just what I'd been searching for. The sermon that day was on the woman at the well, and it hit very close to home to the point it brought me to tears. I walked out of church and just sat in my car and sobbed. I realized that there is strength in weakness, friends, that he never left my side through the dark. He was writing my symphony. I realized that maybe all I was going through wasn't about me after all. Maybe it was about the other people I was supposed to help. Maybe my story did mean something. Maybe my trials were not for nothing. He is not a God of false promises, but he answers our prayers in ways we don't even imagine, using people, opportunities, situations for our good and the good of those around us. His timing is always perfect, and it is divine when he allows us to see little parts of what he has planned. When he started to reveal his plans for me through it all, I clung to him. I leaned in, and it was then that I realized that we were never separated. He had been with me during the struggle. He never lost sight of me and knew exactly where I was the whole time. That was when the true healing started to happen. Most days, I stand in amazement of the way my life has gone. It has been a mix of blessings and hardships, ups and downs, wins and losses, but I am so blessed. I am a work in progress, but I know all of this has a purpose.
Emily, will you be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed?
Yes.
And do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and do you believe that he saves you now? As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow him all the days of your life, growing in grace and love of God and neighbor?
Yes.
Emily Johnson, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is the testimony of Beth Grabiak. I know God has walked with me through my life. I know things have happened only because of him. I have the family I do today because he wove each one of them into my life for a reason. I am so grateful for them. Yet I have always had an emptiness in my heart. Something had always been missing. No decision I made ever seemed to fill it. Before Southlake, I had never attended church or read the Bible. I didn't know God. I didn't know I could have a relationship with him. I didn't know I would find such security, such joy and love that my heart feels like it is overflowing. The emptiness is gone. I have always wished for peace. I have learned I need to pray to find it. Heavenly Father, I am home.
Beth, will you be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed? And do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you believe that he saves you now?
I do.
And as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow him all the days of your life, growing in grace and love of God and neighbor? Step forward, Judas. Beth Grabiak, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is a testimony of Lily Milliman. I can't think of a time when I didn't trust Jesus. I have trusted Jesus as long as I can remember. I started attending Southlake with my family last July. Since then, I have grown much closer to Jesus. I really enjoy learning all about him. It helps me feel close to him and helps me feel safe. I have learned that through prayer, Jesus makes a big difference in my life. I want to follow Jesus for all eternity because he is my Savior. I am excited to continue my journey of following Jesus and growing up with him by my side.
Lily, will you be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed?
Yes.
Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you believe that he saves you now?
Yes.
As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow him all the days of your life, growing in grace and the love of God and neighbor?
Yes.
Lily Ann Milliman, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So, church, this concludes our baptism service. I want to thank you for coming out and showing your support, and I hope you were encouraged by hearing the faith of those who were in this pool this morning, that it spoke to your heart. And maybe you've been saved, but I can tell you there's a lot of people in Lake and Porter County that haven't, and they need to hear your story, and it will move people. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and with you. With that, if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you please rise and hold out your hands like this? It's a privilege to be here with Pastor Nick this morning. So with that, Southlake, go in the love of Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to move you, to lead you to those who need to hear this precious message. And may you always find the warm embrace of the Father. Hug somebody, tell them you love them, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.